Some years ago, I wrote... Do I have both mics on? Some years ago, I wrote a dialogue for Christmas, supposing how it would go between a press agent and God. I get to be God because I've got the robes on and I'm standing up a little higher. Mark has graciously agreed to be our press agent. The story of Jesus is a remarkable story, so we're going to imagine what a modern advertising agent would have tried to do with Jesus' story. A conversation between God and an advertising agent might have gone something like this.
Good day, sir. I hear you have a big event coming up. What is it? Maybe I can help you with it.
I'm going to send my son to earth to become a king and save mankind from their sins.
Very good. The Son of God coming to earth. That has a lot of possibilities. Let's see. I can picture the clouds opening up and a big, strong, handsome man coming down with a lot of radiant light and maybe an escort of angels.
No, he's going to be born here on earth as a baby, just like any other human being. You see, he needs to be true man as well as true God.
Not quite as exciting, but I can see your point. Okay, then the parents are our next problem. We'll need a couple of really big names for the parents. Someone who will attract a lot of attention. Did you have any particular princess or queen in mind that you would like to see to be the mother?
Well, actually, the mother is going to be Mary.
Mary who?
Mary is a young woman that lives in Nazareth. She has found much favor with me.
Oh, I get it. You don't want the mother to outshine the father. It will be a good angle for the famous father to fall in love with a small town girl, and then their son becomes this new king. Who will be the father? How about Caesar Augustus himself?
Well, the baby will be born of Mary while she's still a virgin. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, I will cause her to become pregnant.
You mean the baby won't have a normal father?
Well, Joseph will be his legal father while he's here on earth.
And who is this Joseph?
Joseph is a carpenter. He's also from Nazareth. He's a good and righteous man.
Oh, okay. If that is what you want, but with common parents like that, we are really going to have to build up the place of his birth. It will be in Jerusalem, of course. Maybe we can arrange for Mary and Joseph to stay at the palace for a while and have the birth there. We'll have a good room, a leading doctor there, and the finest clothes all ready.
No, he's going to be born in Bethlehem, in a stable, and his mother will just have swaddling cloths in which to wrap him.
Bethlehem? A stable? Oh, I get it. You want this to be a rags-to-riches story. Common everyday boy from small town becomes king of kings. Yeah, I guess we could play that up. Now, how are we going to have the birth discovered? I know someone important from Jerusalem will be passing through and discover the baby. Then we can play it up big in Jerusalem, hire some people to spread the word, maybe organize a trip out to see the child.
No, I'm going to have an angel announce his birth, and a heavenly choir will sing his praises.
An angel? Now you're talking. We'll have them come down right in Temple Square. That will really attract a crowd, right?
No, the angel will announce it to a group of shepherds near Bethlehem while they're out tending their sheep. The angel choir will sing and share the joyous noise with them. The shepherds will be the first ones to find the baby.
Okay, so you want to keep that humble touch going a little longer. Now, the next thing we need to set up is the boy's king's education. We need to get him admitted to the best schools in Jerusalem and begin to prepare his rise to the throne. How soon do you want to burst him into the public scene?
Well, the first 30 years of his life, he will live with Mary and Joseph and help Joseph in the carpentry shop. He won't begin his public ministry until then.
30 years? Everyone will have forgotten he is supposed to be a king by then, and living as a carpenter, that will be a tough image for us to overcome. Oh, well, if that is the way it has to be, at least then we can get him into public eye. I think about a good 6 weeks of build-up campaign would be good. Lots of billboards with pictures of him saying, "The Messiah is coming soon." And then we will bring him into town just at a Passover time when the city is really crowded with people.
No, I've already prepared someone for the advance notification. John the Baptist will tell people that he's coming.
Who is this John the Baptist? oh, it doesn't matter. I'll get him set up with an office in downtown Jerusalem. He should be able to draw some crowds there.
No, John will preach to people out in the wilderness near the Jordan River. He will wear a coat of camel hair and live on locusts and wild honey. He will preach repentance to the people and warn them of their sins and proclaim that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is coming.
Okay. At least his coming will finally be announced and we'll have something to work with. Now we need to be concerned with his followers. He is going to need some top flight staff members to help him. I'll try to recruit some of those active young Pharisees to work with him.
I've already decided who his followers will be. Most of them will be fishermen who will give up their nets and follow him. Jesus will pick 12 of them, and it's to them he will begin to teach what his kingdom will be like.
Finally, we are getting to the kingdom. You know, this is the part that we can really sell. We'll need a big flashy palace somewhere, and we'll need to have lots of free food and drink for people. And we'll need to recruit an army.
No, it's not going to be that kind of kingdom. He's going to tell people how they can one day live forever with him in heaven.
I see. You want to appeal to the masses. They will eat it up. A place without hunger or misery, no work, no problems. Yeah, we can sell that to them. Okay, when will it begin and what kind of an event can we stage to let people know it will happen?
Well, he's going to be put on a cross by the government like a common criminal.
I see. Then his followers come and rescue him and start the new kingdom?
No, he'll hang on that cross until he dies, and then he'll be taken down and buried.
Die? We can't let him die. No one will ever believe the kingdom story if we let him die.
Oh, he isn't going to stay dead. He'll come out of the grave 3 days later and appear to people to prove that he's alive.
Hey, that will be great if you really think you can pull it off. I'll have it announced that he will appear at the temple. A large crowd will gather and be ready to proclaim him king and start the new kingdom.
No, he's just going to appear to his disciples and to some of his other followers, reassure them and tell them that he's going to ascend to heaven while his disciples watch him go.
But what about the kingdom?
Oh, he's going to come again one day and take all believers back to heaven with him.
Let me see if I have this straight. The Son of God is going to come down to earth. He is going to be born of a virgin named Mary. He'll be born in a stable in Bethlehem, and only shepherds to greet him. For the next 30 years, he is going to live as a carpenter's son. Then some guy in a camel outfit that eats locusts is going to announce his coming. Some fishermen are going to be his main followers. He will preach about some heavenly kingdom, and then he will die like a common criminal on a cross. Somehow, he will miraculously come back to life, but then he will go away promising that someday he will return.
That's right.
You don't need me. No one will ever believe this story. You might as well forget it.
Give Mark a hand. When you think about it, the Christmas story is a very remarkable story. Perhaps even a story that's hard to believe. God didn't plan her to do it the way a human being would have done it. God does things differently. But even so, why? Why is this wonderful story so hard for some people to believe? Why do some people have the attitude of our imagined press agent and think that no one would ever believe the story? Part of the answer, I think, lies in the way people look at the world and look at things. They don't understand the idea of someone willingly giving of themselves and serving other people. When we talk about the free gift of salvation, eternal life, that God was willing to come down from all the glory of heaven to live as a baby, people don't understand. Several years ago, a young man named Brad came to live with us while he went to college and then started his career. Ended up being with us for 6 years. While in college, he had a friend at Chico State University, and he said one afternoon, "I've got to get back up to Paradise, the town where we lived, because I have to deliver an angel gift. The friend asked, "Well, why would you do that? Why would you buy a present for a kid that you don't even know?" When Brad said, well, his parents are in jail and it's a very needy family, the friend still didn't understand why Brad would take money out of his pocket to give it to someone he didn't know. The friend who knew that Brad went to church then asked, "Do you have to do that stuff to get into heaven?" And Brad said, "No, that's not why I did it." So then the friend thought, well, he probably knew. Knowing that I was a pastor and he lived with me, he said, "Does he make you do that kind of stuff?" Here was a friend who sort of lived in the real world. And he didn't understand that as Christians, we feel so blessed, so loved by God, that we want to reach out and share our blessings with the world around us. Friends, we have people out there, people that you and I know, that do not either believe or understand the Christmas story. But you are being a witness by the way you live your life, by coming to worship tonight, by showing people your faith in Jesus Christ. Another part of the answer as to why people don't believe this miraculous story is they don't feel the need of a Savior. They feel that all in all, they are pretty good people. Well, they wouldn't say they were perfect, but they don't think they're all that bad either. And if you don't feel bad about yourself, if you don't acknowledge that you are a sinner, then why do you need a Savior? What do you care if God sent his Son 2,000 years ago if you don't need a Savior? During my career in ministry, I have dealt with many different people. It was always interesting when there were non-Christian relatives at a funeral. Or in the case of military, sometimes I was asked to do a funeral for someone I didn't even know. And those people always wanted to impress on me that this was a really good person that I was performing the memorial service for. They wanted me to understand they were a good person or a kind person, that they sort of deserved to be at rest and at peace, if not actually with God in heaven. Far too many people, again, people that you and I know, think they are okay with God because they're pretty good people. Yet another part of the answer as to why people don't or won't believe, I think, is because they're afraid of the commitment. They know that being a Christian means some kind of commitment to God and makes some change in your life. They know that they should follow the teachings of Jesus, and they're afraid what that commitment might mean to the way they like to live. As you know, to become a pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, you need 4 years of college and then 4 more years of seminary. And out in the world, people don't understand this. One of my neighbors back in Missouri said, "Why would you go to 8 years of college to be a pastor? You could have been a doctor, you could have been a lawyer, you could have been an engineer, you could have made some serious money." He didn't understand a motivation to do something for any reason other than financial gain. Underneath it all, I think some people think, if that's the kind of commitment it takes to be a Christian, I don't want to have anything to do with it. And again, I think you have family and friends and neighbors and co-workers who do not understand your commitment of time and of your talent and of your treasure, your money, to serve the Lord. They don't understand, but when they see it, you are being a witness to them and you're opening up an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to speak to their heart. You know, I feel sad for anyone who doesn't believe or understand the Christmas story. Sad because no matter what earthly blessings they may have during this time of year, it's not lasting. It will fade. They can't know the real peace and joy that you and I know as Christians, that God loves us and forgives us, and we're going to spend eternity with God in heaven. But sometimes I feel sad for Christians as well. Sad because we don't always live as if we believe the Christmas story. Too often we let worry or financial stress or illness or relationship problems rob us of the joy that is ours through knowing Christ is our Savior. And knowing that this is a true story, that we can be sure that God wants to be with us for this life and has taken care of our eternity. You are here tonight because you do believe the message of Christmas. You are here to worship Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Keep that joy at the center of your heart. Celebrate the joy of Christmas every day of your life as you rejoice that God loved you personally, individually, loved you enough to send Christ to be your Savior. And God loves you in spite of anything and everything that happens in your life. Even though we join the Apostle Paul and we have to say, the good stuff I want to do, I don't always do. And some of that stuff I know I shouldn't do, I end up doing. In spite of it all, God loves you and loves me. It's not a fable. It's not a myth. It's not just a feel-good story. They are facts. Jesus Christ did live, die, and rise again. They are facts that will prepare you to live in this life with great joy and to spend eternity with God. May your Christmas joy be full, as you know in your heart and mind that God loves you personally. He is not only King of Kings and Lord of Lords, He's your own personal individual Savior. Believe the story with all your heart, rejoice in the joy of Christmas, and live every day as a witness to others. Amen.